This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Baby, I got so much love to give, and I want to give it all to you. Close the door, no need to worry.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Dave Matter in a couple of minutes. Urban Meyer's wife says she wants him done with coaching. If I had to guess, I would guess he will be back. But, you know, the only job that makes sense would be the Notre Dame job. And maybe, despite the fact that Brian Kelly's winning a lot of games, maybe Notre Dame would pull the trigger during an offseason.
I think it'd be fun to see Nick Saban retire, Kirby Smart go to Alabama, and Urban Meyer just nestle himself back in the SEC with Georgia. I think he'd like to play Florida every year.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think that'd be fun to see.
Notre Dame's the job he's kind of wanted, but the timing wasn't right.
But would Notre Dame commit to him? I guess they would.
Oh, sure they would.
To win a national title?
Yeah, I guess yeah. They have no morals. Don't pretend like they care.
And Brian Kelly has just a weird personality.
Brian Kelly being attached to the Buccaneers job opening.
Yes.
Rumor has it.
From what I hear outside of the room.
So this could be a really short retirement.
Yes.
That's insane if that were to happen that quick.
Oh, just got a clear doctor's note. I'm good to go.
You knew the Patino mention. Patino will get to the Final Four shortly. How shortly? Like 15 seconds. The problem with Rick Pitino coaching in college, again, is the 30-second shot clock. How would Pitino coach the remaining 15 seconds? Actually, I think it was 17 seconds that he actually, the session went on. Okay, let's see. Only Vanderbilt had a lower recruiting class than Mizzou. They are what they are, a mediocre football team that only beats the blood donors and can never beat the big boys. Tim.
Oh, I remember this. Doug's prison wall. At the beginning of the 05 season for the Rams, I completely forgot about this. Started with the Rams returner catching the ball while stepping out of bounds at the 2-yard line. Martz used a challenge. To this day, no one knows why he was challenging. The Odom timeout extra point gave me the same experience.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Any new interest in Mizzou football was lost Monday. Bad play calling. Still don't understand the pass play in the Kentucky game to stop the clock. On Monday, last play running, horrible call.
Was running with the wrong person. Like you said it, like if you wanted to run with Roundtree, and maybe the excuse was 3rd-and-1 didn't work, fine, but if a pass fall is incomplete on 4th-and-1, I don't think anyone blames Odom.
Yeah. I know the morning show touched on it, and Brian just mentioned it to me. Rest in peace, Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yeah, that's sad.
The greatest wrestling broadcaster of all time, a man who had a sense of timing and drama. We actually almost got him on about 2 months ago, and that would have been fitting for this show because he died 2 months later.
He would have died probably a week after that.
That's right.
Good for him for not showing up on the
program. We would have jinxed him. He got 2 more months. Speaking of death. That Purdue superfan Trent died of cancer at age 20. What a courageous young man he is.
Van Pelt did a fantastic piece when he did his Sports Center saying, because I think they interviewed him and said they'd save him a seat at the desk for, you know, maybe one day they'll have him in. So it was really nice. They did a tribute to him.
Wow.
Scott Van Pelt did last night.
Great. Really cool. All right, let's talk some Mizzou football with Dave Matter. Dave, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
Good, Frank. How's it going?
Very good. So I know this is kind of a tough question, but in terms of like gut-wrenching losses, number one, would it be South Carolina, Kentucky, or this past Monday against Oklahoma State? Most gut-wrenching.
Oh, Kentucky by far. And then I'd say South Carolina, too, and this one a distant third. I mean, bowl games are so weird. I think fans probably get upset about bowl losses more than players do. Missouri's players were disappointed that they lost and how they lost, but they were more upset that the season was over and that the seniors, that their careers were over. But bowls are just so weird. I mean, Missouri hadn't played in 38 days. It's hard to know what's going to happen, and the guys do seem to get over it pretty quickly. Maybe not Barry Odom, but I don't think it compares to what happens in a conference game during the grind of the regular season.
Okay, so instead of being up in the press box in the waning moments of that football game, Dave Matter actually has the headset on and is the offensive coordinator on 3rd and 4th down. What would Dave Matter have done?
I thought third down was the right call. I mean, they went under center, which is really unusual for Missouri, and they gave Roundtree the ball. I thought he got the first down with ease. I thought he got a really bad spot. I mean, it looked like he got 2 yards, and, you know, he didn't get any. And then on fourth down, you know, that play has worked all season. It worked the entire game. Oklahoma State had no respect for Drew running the ball, and they gave him that crease. Is that the guy you want running the ball when you need just a couple feet instead of Roundtree? Well, you know, it's a read play, and he made the right read, and he went for the corner. I think you give Oklahoma State safety a lot of credit for coming up and making the play. It was right there for Drew to get it. I think in hindsight, yeah, maybe you give it to the running back instead. I don't like throwing the ball in that situation, really. Everything is so compact and compressed. And, you know, unless you're throwing it to Kendall Blanton, who is a good option as a big tight end, you only need a couple feet. I'd give it to Roundtree, but they trusted Drew, and it just didn't work out.
I realize that Barry Odom has won more games in his first 3 years as the head coach at Mizzou than Gary Pinkel. But one thing the Pinkel teams had, and maybe it wasn't initially, but they had it consistently throughout his career after the beginning, was they generated sacks, pressure, and turnovers. This team doesn't, and I think, you know, that's like the story of the game. Whether was it the secondary that was so bad, or was it the defensive ends that didn't put any pressure on the quarterback that allowed the quarterback to throw the ball so effectively?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they were hit or miss. I mean, Cam Hilton had 2 picks. If he doesn't get those 2 picks, it's probably a blowout, because Oklahoma State otherwise was rolling offensively and throwing the ball at ease. Terry Beckner had a couple sacks. They just didn't get any pressure off the edges. And that quarterback had all day to throw, and the times that he didn't is when he threw the interception. So they just need more disruption. You need to play 4 quarters of that kind of defense against a high-octane Big 12 offense like Oklahoma State. I mean, you know, technically Missouri held Oklahoma State below its season average, but, you know, that's not good enough if you're kicking field goals instead of getting touchdowns all the time. So Missouri's defense wasn't good enough. They were okay in spurts, and Cam deserves credit for creating a couple of those turnovers. But in a game like that, you need more disruption.
Do you know if they have a defensive end in the program that can get to the quarterback? I know they didn't recruit anybody from St. Louis in this last signing period, or if they got a defensive end JUCO-wise or something like that.
Well, they've got the 2 freshmen they signed last year that played some this year. They just didn't give them a whole lot of playing time this year, and Jatorian Hansford is one of them. You know, I don't know. They've got to develop somebody there for sure. I mean, they just don't have that dynamic edge rusher. They get good pressure up the middle. Beckner, end of the year with a nice season as far as just getting after the quarterback. But, you know, when you can't expect that from a D-tackle consistently through the course of a game, because they've got so many other things going on inside. You need those edge rushers, and they just don't have one right now.
Dave, I think you tweeted out afterwards that the super agent Tom Condon was with the Locke family. I don't know if that's going to be a done deal, but what about the evaluation of Drew after a magnificent day passing the ball, 23 of 38, nearly 400, 3 touchdowns, which should have been 5? Give me your take.
Well, I don't think he did anything to hurt his stock at all. And, you know, Drew made a great point leading up to the game. He's like, you know, I've got 4 years of tape for the NFL to look at. You know, I'm not going to make or break my draft stock on my last game. But I thought he played really well. He made some Sunday throws in that game. There's no doubt about it. And you also have to consider who he was throwing to. Fourth quarter of that game, he's got freshmen and walk-ons out there. Emmanuel Hall didn't play after about the first quarter. He didn't have his all-SEC tight end again. He had a walk-on out there making some catches from Barrett Bannister. He had some freshmen out there. Jonathan Johnson played as well as he could, having had an outstanding day, but he was gimping around a little bit and couldn't play as much in the fourth quarter. I think you give Drew all the credit in the world. He didn't make the final play, but whoever ends up drafting him isn't going to draft him to run the ball. He's going to be a pocket passer. And I thought he had a great career, and I think he had a really good senior year.
Have you done any work with NFL scouts or talked to them? And, you know, obviously the Ohio State quarterback will be the first pick. Maybe Duke goes ahead of him, but he can't be any worse than 3 or 4, correct?
I don't know if he won't be the first quarterback taken. I mean, there's still a lot of time left. He's going to impress people at the Senior Bowl. You know, anybody that sits down and talks with him is really going to like him. They're going to love you know, what he did. Are they going to love what he does in his workouts because he throws the ball so well? And, you know, these teams fall in love with quarterbacks. And if a guy is maybe not somebody right now that they think is a top 10 pick or they're number one on their board, they can fall in love with a guy pretty quickly. And we see it happen all the time. And, you know, sometimes guys end up taking higher than they probably should have because teams need somebody at that position. So I wouldn't count him out as the first quarterback taken by any means. I don't know if he'll be a top three pick overall because there's some really good defensive players out there, defensive linemen. You know, Alabama's probably got another 5-6 first-round picks on this team. Clemson's got a bunch of defensive linemen. But it wouldn't shock me at all if he's the first quarterback.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the successor at quarterback, Kelly Bryant. What type of contact has he had with the club? And do you anticipate, you know, kind of a shift in offensive philosophy now with an athletic quarterback in there?
Well, he's been in Columbia. He was at a couple of the bowl practices before the team left for Memphis. He went with his new teammates to the men's basketball game against Xavier, visited with a couple of reporters after the game. And he's just trying to, get to know the guys, become a teammate, and become part of the program. He'll be here in classes in a couple of weeks when they start here pretty soon. They're going to shift things a little bit. You know, he doesn't have Drew's arm. He can't throw the ball 60 yards down the field accurately like Drew Locke can. He was very accurate at Clemson, you know, statistically more accurate than Drew was over the course of his career. But he threw different kind of passes. You know, he wasn't the degree of difficulty on the passes Clemson was throwing with Kelly Bryant were different than a lot of the deep balls that Drew Locke threw. But he is a running threat. And he's a guy that I think you can just call the same plays that Missouri's called with Drew. You just call them more often or you design a few different things where he has more reads and more options to keep the ball. But, you know, they run those plays with Drew. I think you can just run them more often. And also, he's not a guy that you have to have run the ball 15, 20 times a game. You've got Larry Roundtree coming back. And, I think kind of quietly, the guy finishes the season with 1,200 rushing yards.
Wow.
Only two running backs in Mizzou history have had more yards in a season than Roundtree had in a 13-game year. And he was splitting carries for a lot of the year with the two other backs. So I don't think you need Kelly Bryant to be a guy that runs for 1,000 yards by any means. But that threat of what he can do, that changes how defenses can play you. So I think they're going to be a different team to prepare for, no doubt about it.
Percentage chances that Albert O returns with the program?
Hard to say at this point. You know, he hasn't talked to anybody media-wise before the Florida game. I don't think there was ever any doubt that he was going to miss the rest of the year. Barry was very coy with us, kept saying, well, you know, we'll see what happens. He hadn't practiced in more than 6 weeks. He's had that arm immobilized in a sling since mid to late November. If he does want to go pro, I'm not sure how much he can work out and lift and get ready because of that shoulder injury. But, you know, we just haven't heard much. So he's got 2 weeks to decide, basically. There's already a few tight ends have come out, so it might be a heavy year for tight ends. He'd probably be better off waiting. And I think he's still got a lot of room to grow before he gets into the NFL, just becoming a more complete tight end. I didn't think he had a great first half of the year when he was healthy.
I'm sure you've looked at the 2019 schedule, and it's tough to say. I mean, you just lost to a team that was 500, and you had some heartbreaking losses this season. It's tough to think, oh, well, they can go 8-0 heading into Georgia. But nonetheless, the schedule is conducive for more victories next season than this year.
I think so. I mean, you get West Virginia at home, and they're a good program. You have no idea what's going to happen with their coaching situation with Holgorsen leaving for Houston, most likely. They don't have Will Grier back at quarterback. You know, you trade going to Alabama for hosting Ole Miss. So obviously that's a much favorable trade for the schedule. Georgia's not going to fall off. Florida's only getting better. I don't think Tennessee can get worse, but they come to Columbia next year. Arkansas can't get much worse, but you got to go to Arkansas next year. And I don't think Kentucky's going to dramatically fall off, and that's a 10-win program right now. So, yeah, I mean, you can't just assume, hey, Missouri got Kelly Bryant. They won 8 games this year. They're going to win 9 next year or 10 next year. But the pieces are in place, I think, to have another good season, if not a better season. And they've gotten better each year under Odom. So I think it's natural, and I think it's really fair to expect them to make progress.
The Missouri basketball team doesn't play until the 8th. They're coming off some good victories. You know, I think a lot of people were concerned, especially after some of the struggles early on, that, boy, this is going to be rough. Now, all of a sudden, this Javon Pickett from Belleville East is turning into just a do-it-all player. Tillman's made strides. I think they've been a pleasant surprise. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think the day that Jontay Porter went down, if you would have told Konza Martin or told anybody, hey, you're going to be 9-3 going into conference play, he would have taken that for sure. You know, they're on a 6-game winning streak, which is the longest under Martin. Quality wins over UCF, over Xavier. And I know Illinois struggled, and they may really struggle in the Big Ten, but that was a big moment that was important for the program to get that win, break that losing streak. And they played really well in it. I mean, you watch that game. If you didn't know anything about either team going into that game, and you're an SEC coach, you look at Missouri and say, wow, I'm not really thrilled about playing this team. They're tough. They have an identity. They play to that identity. They can hit some shots from outside, and they play pretty good defense. So, yeah, I think they've got a lot going for them. The league is probably not as deep and as talented as maybe we thought going in, so I think there's a lot of winnable games on there. Not so sure about the first one, home against Tennessee, which I think is a Final Four contender. But there's some winnable games, so we'll see what they do.
I keep hearing great things about the young man sitting out, Drew Smith, the transfer from Evansville. What do we know?
He's a really talented guy. He can play in multiple positions on the floor. He's a bigger guard. You know, he can run the point. He can shoot. He shot really well at Evansville. I mean, his numbers or stats were really eye-popping. Can be a big assist guy. I think he can defend multiple positions. I know Konza absolutely loves him. So, you know, whatever they lose from this team next year, we know Kevin Purrier and Jordan Geis won't be back. We'll see. You know, rosters in basketball turn over so much, it's hard to predict. But we know they're going to have Drew Smith next year, and I think he can be a real impact player for this program.
Should Missouri fans be concerned that this may be the last year of Jeremiah Tillman?
I don't know about that. You know, he was really good against Illinois and then against Morehead State, which I think had one player over 6'5". He got in foul trouble, only had a couple. I think he may have one field goal and was kind of a non-factor. So that's – Jeremiah isn't at the point where you just expect, hey, 15-10 every night. He has his ups and downs. And at that size, in today's NBA game, you better have some kind of outside shot if you're going to be a high draft pick, a first-round draft pick. And he has not developed that part of his game at all, which I think – helps him stay in college, because if that's something that if he wants to be an NBA player, he's got to develop some kind of jumper at some point, and that's just not part of his game. So and he seems like he's pretty happy in college. He doesn't strike me as a kid that is just dying to get paid and go to the NBA. So we'll see what happens. I mean, when he's at his best, he's a really, really good college player. Is he ready for the next level? I'm not sure about that yet.
Good stuff, Dave. How about book ideas from Mizzou fans out there? You got a really good one out recently.
Yeah, 100 Things Missouri Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. If they didn't pick it up for Christmas, it's okay. It's still on sale, and throughout St. Louis, you can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And yeah, I had a lot of fun writing it, and hope fans can still enjoy it.
Good stuff. He's a great follow on Twitter, Dave Matter. Dave, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Great. Thanks, Frank.
All right, Dave Matter joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. I know, Plowsy, we talked a little bit about this, but that must have been kind of painful watching that that bragging rights game with those former Illinois commits or recruits.
It is. I've gotten over the Tillman one. That one really hurt at first, because that would have been your big major recruit. After Tillman, you know, you had a couple. Mark Smith, I kind of took offense to the transfer only because he got to play immediately because he didn't play enough at Illinois. I wasn't for sure the reasoning of the immediate transfer. But I have to say, I'm certainly impressed with Missouri. I think Gabe touched on it with the Jontay Porter injury. You thought this was going to be a tough Kim Anderson type year where a lot of bumps in the road, a lot of young players getting a lot of minutes that maybe they weren't supposed to before the injury. Konza Martin did a phenomenal job.
All right, we'll take a short timeout. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan.